Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. And Andy was with us, of course. We had a bit of a chat about various things. The former Premier League referee Mark Halsey was not happy with some of the calls over the weekend. Some he was, some he wasn't. But certainly the process with VAR, he was railing against. You'll hear from him. We had a special Don't Ask Me with Max Rushton against Andy, where they both reflected on the shows they did last week. And on a more serious note, we spoke to Nobby Styles' son, John, a former player himself. The Styles family decided to donate Nobby's brain to medical research, and they had the results back, and they were troubling, as John explained. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And we find you back at home, hopefully today. You've come into contact with someone, and so you're awaiting the results of a test today. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel absolutely fine, but you know how it works. So I think this may well be my third one of these. So that's the way it goes. What can you do? So I'm fine, but you'll have to bear with us because we'll probably crash each other like we normally do when I'm at home. But I'll do my best. We've got a house party on. We can see each other, so that's fine. Some interesting football on the weekend. Some surprising results. None more than at Palace, where, you know, I thought it would be quite a tight game. Liverpool haven't been playing well away from home, and Palace, you know, pretty defensively decent. But Roy, at the end, he went, well, you know, there's no point trying to disguise the fact that they've scored 7 goals. I thought, I'd like to see you try. We can say, well, the warm-up was all right. We looked quite good there. Yeah. Odd, wasn't it? Really. Part of me always wants Arsenal to lose, but I actually wanted them to equalise because Everton are going well this year. But I just don't get, we'll probably talk about this with Motti, I don't get all this thing that, oh, Arsenal are dominating games. You know, they're not creating anything. They don't look like scoring to me. So, you know, I think they have got some big problems there, no question. Leeds?
Well, I mean, quantify big problems, because I don't, you know, much as a Tottenham fan, I think it was hilarious. Let me just say, what's the time? 1:06, Arsenal are too good to go down. When that starts to click, they're absolutely fine. So what, you know, what does in trouble mean? I mean,
it means they're not going to mount a challenge for the title. They are going to have to go on a fantastic run to get into the top four, which is what, you know, they look like they could threaten at the start of the season. And it's all down to Aubameyang. If he, you know, unfortunately, he was injured before the game on Saturday, but if having scored, if he'd gone on a streak, that will help Arsenal. That will cover up a lot of stuff. But at the moment, they're not going to go down, but they're also finding it quite hard to win games. They are playing the run-enders on Boxing Day.
Oh, yes, your boys,
Yeah, exactly. So if you've not won for a few weeks, no better team to meet than Chelsea, I always find. Leeds, again, I loved that game. It was great watching them, but they don't appear to have a defence. I know Bielsa's supposed to be a great coach. Everyone says, great coach, Bielsa, what a coach. Everybody worships him. But he hasn't actually won a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's all very well, but you're conceding 6-2 goals in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But does put the game plan out the window. I love watching them. It could have been 6 each, but it wasn't.
The way they play, of course, was set up for Manchester United, and with the way we saw them play against Leipzig. I mean, it was a dream. I'm sure that Ollie thought, well, look, he'll tweak it a bit. He knows what we're like. He knows where we're good in the transition with all the pace that we have. Oh, no. Just come on then. It was like basketball, wasn't it? But, I mean, it was brilliantly entertaining. I mean, we can't argue with that. And, again, in that situation where you think there's worse teams than Leeds, there will be games when they will score more teams than the opposition. And they will they will definitely... I feel they're not going to get sucked into it. There's worse teams than them. They'll be fine. But you're going to get games like that. You're going to get real roller coaster games. Some they'll win and some they won't.
I mean, I did see, hear one Leeds fan call. It was on breakfast this morning, and he basically called for Bielsa to leave. Who did he call to come in? I can't even remember now. Somebody more pragmatic altogether. Oh, Rafa Benitez. You know, oh God, don't go from that wonderful football to watch to Rafa's terrible but effective methods. I think we'll be neutrals will hope that Bielsa stays there. And I didn't really see much of sport. I didn't see any of Sports Personality of the Year last night.
Well, you normally watch, don't you? You normally watch.
I do. I don't know. I forgot it was on. But actually, I was surprised. Well, don't worry. Tyson Fury, I got a lot on my mind. Tyson Fury didn't win, which really surprised me because I thought it was going to be a Boaty McBoatface. I thought the public would deliberately.
They'd get him, so he'd have to rock up or they'd have to try and get some video. Yeah.
But probably best that, that Lewis won it and he probably deserved to, I think. Definitely.
I've got TV formats, and if we want to chuck that out there today.
Yeah, well, go for it.
It's in one aspect, it's slightly higher risk. Do you know what the name of the UK Athletics former head of endurance is?
No,
come on, top of your head.
What a brilliant knowledge of sport if I knew that off the top of my head.
You'd have to really be into your sports administration, wouldn't you?
It's not Neil somebody, it's not him.
No. Why would we want TV formats for Neil somebody? This is our old mate, I don't know him from Adam, Barry Fudge. F-U-D-G-E, Barry Fudge. Now, there is no way he's making any programmes with people who set up rebel Australian cricket tournaments. So bear that in mind when you send those in. But otherwise, you can say what you like. So
Top of my head.
TV, I've got I've got a cricket-based show, Andy, for you. A Finger of Fudge, which was the great outs, umpires' stories of getting, basically. That's what I was thinking. So
I was going down a similar line. That's fine.
Weren't taking another route. Yeah.
No, I definitely wasn't. I'll give that a bit of thought in the break.
The listeners can join in. So if Barry is now looking for a career in TV, TV formats for Barry Fudge, talksport.com/H&J or text to 81089. It's fraught with problems, this, I know. But look, we've got the control, Andy. We've got the control.
That's true. I'll give it a bit of thought. I also can't wait to speak to. I love speaking to Andy Bressel, but I can't wait to speak to him about Marcus Thuram, who's set to face a lengthy ban after shockingly spitting in the face of an opponent. We all know that's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
Thuram wrote on Instagram, "Something took place that is not in my character. Must never happen. I reacted to an opponent in a wrong way, and something occurred accidentally."
Right.
I don't think it was accidentally, was it? Really? Let's be honest. You're going to apologise. Mate, apologise properly.
It was a player, though, called Stefan Posch. So the Posch, you could spit in, as you said, his name, couldn't you? You could inadvertently spit.
That would be an accident.
Had it been Peter Piper or someone like that, we might have let him off. But we should get Bob Carroll G's on. If there's ever an incident like this, we know Bob's phone is red hot. So we'll see if we can track him down. Yeah. So that's all coming up. TV formats for Barry Fudge, within reason. Also, Jamie Jackson's going to kick us off. Going to talk a bit of Manchester football. 2 years in for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as he took over as a caretaker manager. That was a thumping victory at the weekend. And even Roy Keane is suddenly a man who's given them pelters, this particular squad. He's saying, well, who knows? You know, they're in the mix. They are now up there fighting for the title. We didn't say they're going to win it. He couldn't bring himself to do that. But he said they can push Liverpool.
I expect Liverpool to pull away now. I mean, you know, what a team they are. They've got all their injuries, but they've got key injuries. And somehow they haven't played particularly well, except recently. And then Saturday they were brilliant. And you have to think they were good against Spurs. You have to think they're going to pull away and do it. But we'll see.
They talk about Jose as a great psychologist. But, I mean, clearly somebody in that Tottenham dressing room shouldn't have told or just stop reminding Serge Aurier that it's nearly Christmas, because he's so excited. You could tell he's been playing well, and I actually thought he was playing quite well the other day during that game. I thought he was having a decent match. But then he does, as Jose said in All or Nothing, what he is capable of doing. I just think he's getting all excited about Christmas. Do you know what? It's like the kids on the last week of school before, you know, the kids on the day before they bring in games. He's like that. It's always Christmas. He's seen a tree on the way in. Oh, I can't wait. It's Christmas. I wonder what I'm going to get this year.
It was a mad challenge, wasn't it?
It was bonkers.
Such a mad challenge. He didn't need to do it. It wasn't going anywhere. It almost wasn't worth the penalty. It was so cheap.
Well, I don't think the Leicester fans would be. It's all about the first goal that game. I did feel that going in at half-time 0-0 with Tottenham's firepower, they might have, although Leicester were playing better. I did say to Jeff, I congratulated Jeff Peters on the victory, and he said, thanks very much, Paul. He said, but according to Andy's birthday spread scoring system, you actually won that game 7-4.
Yes. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. When the Times' Matt Dickinson spoke to the head of referees, IFAB, David Ellery, about the possibility of miking up officials, referees and VAR officials to understand what's going on, he said, in terms of credibility of decisions, it can undermine it. You are the VAR, I'm the referee. You say, David, you need to look at that because that's a penalty. I say, to me, it isn't. You say, are you sure? And the coach afterwards says, Ellery's so arrogant, he wouldn't change his mind. He also cited bad language on the pitch as one of the other reasons why you shouldn't do it. But there was at least one decision this weekend when a former Premier League referee, Mark Halsey, felt that would have really helped. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we?
Good, thank you. What do you make of David Ellery's reasoning that when he was chatting to Matt the other week? What about this idea that it undermines a decision-making process when there's a difference of opinion?
No. Listen, if there's a difference of opinion, then it's not a clear and obvious error. Then the VAR should not come in. Now, in all other sports, we listen to cricket, we're in rugby league, rugby union, we hear everything that goes on. And I think at the weekend, if we look at, what can we look at? Newcastle, Fulham. Now, you know, there was so much going on there. It would have been benefit for everybody to hear what was going on, what was actually said. Because for me, it wasn't a red card for a denial of a obvious goal scoring opportunity. It was a second. It should have been a second yellow card because he denied a promise and attack. So, but Graham Scott wasn't going to issue a second yellow card. We could see that in his body language. He did the penalty, and that was it. So obviously, VAR felt that was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. For me, it wasn't. So it wasn't a clear and obvious error. So, you know, it would have been good for it to educate everybody what goes on between the referee and Stockley Park.
Right from the word go, when all this started, right way back, I said that David Ellery had designed everything to protect the referees. He was coming at it from a referee's point of view, and everything was designed to make sure the referees weren't undermined. And I don't see any change in that. There's still, and I don't think it helps the referees that they approach it from that point of view.
Well, week in, week out, we're having so many problems, aren't we, with VAR? You know, we've got to come out of the old ages and come into the new. And, you know, everything moves on. And football doesn't seem to have moved on with regard to officials and the way they conduct themselves. And, you know, even if we saw Mike Riley come out after on the Monday, like we see in other countries where they come out and they speak about the incidents, we don't see that. Instead, he puts up Dermot Gallagher, who I have the greatest respect for, but he always comes up on the side of the referee most times. So we need that independence. We need, you know, we need people to come out and tell us, you know, what exactly went on at Newcastle, Fulham. What was the conversation? Or let us hear what the conversation. Play back the tape because it must all be recorded. So, you know, week in, week out, we're talking about VAR. I mean, I personally thought it would be very good for the game, and I still think it is. But it's not being implemented correctly. That's the problem we've got. It's not being implemented correctly. It's not difficult. Was there a serious incident missed, or was it a clear and obvious error by the match official? That's it.
Yeah. What about in the use of it we saw this weekend with Jake Livermore's sending off for West Brom against Villa and John Lundstrom as well for Sheffield United against Brighton? What did you make of VAR's role in that, Mark? Both of those decisions.
For me, there were two instances there where it was used correctly. Okay, so sometimes you know, in real time, you don't really you see the full nature of the challenge. I thought Michael Oliver done extremely well to call the referee over, and also the same with Darren England with Jake Livermore. But I was very, very because you know what we've got to realise. People keep on social media keep saying, "Oh, there was no intent. There wasn't intentional." But intent isn't in the laws of the game anymore. It's did that challenge endanger the player's safety? That's what the referees have to look at. And I thought Darren England got was very good on the Jake Livermore challenge, but very inconsistent with the house challenge for Aston Villa.
Yeah.
They're both red cards or they're yellow cards. And for me, both were red cards. They were challenges that endangered the player's safety. And I couldn't work out, for life me, why he never recommended Martin Akson to go over and check the holes challenge. Because for me, I think if Martin Akson had gone over for that challenge, I'm sure we would have seen another red card.
Well, we'd know if we could hear what was going on. We would know why one was deemed worthy of reviewing and why the other one wasn't.
Exactly. So that's why I think it's so important that, you know, everybody in football matters. Everybody, the players, the coaches, the managers, and none so than the fans. You know, it's the fans that make the game. Because if you look at all the games at the moment, without fans, some of these games just like pre-season friendlies, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, the fans play their part and they're just as entitled to know what's going on as anybody else's. So for me, if we could hear what they were saying, and everybody would then, I think, would be happy. They may not agree with some of the situations, but at least they're being educated to what actually does go on between referee and VAR, and what they're looking at, and what they're thinking, and what they're feeling. So for me, we hear in the A League in Australia, we hear them, they talk. Everybody hears what goes on. There's no problem there, is there? So why would it be a problem in the English game?
That's very true.
No, Mark, you
certainly got our backing. Good to talk to you. Have a good Christmas. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas to all the new listeners. Take care.
There we are. Former Premier League referee Mark Housley with his take on that. Barry Fudge, looking for some TV formats. It's a very quick one. Fudge Rinder, says Mark Carter. Barry takes over from the judge for a one-off courtroom special. Well, he'd have a different take on it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Interesting there, Toby, quoting Gary O'Neill, who was on with Jim and Simon earlier on, the Liverpool youth coach, saying they rarely practice headers in the same way they certainly used to these days at the club. And I think a lot of it is due to the dementia diagnoses that we've seen in a number of our players that played the game in a certain era, and indeed the sad death of a number of them. That includes one of the boys of 66, the great Nobby Stiles, who died earlier this year, and his family made the very tough call to donate his brain to Dr. Willie Stewart, the man in charge of the field study that looks at the link between dementia and football, and indeed other sports as well. Dr. Stewart, after looking at Nobby's brain, has concluded that there was a link, and it was caused by that excessive heading of football. Joining us now, former pro himself, of course, Nobby's son John. Good afternoon, John.
Afternoon, lads.
How did it make you feel when the news came from Dr. Stewart?
Well, we thought for a long time it had to be that, but there's so many sort of naysayers, you know, it's this or something, you know, it's not proven. But when it came through, it just confirmed everything we thought. We've seen so many of Dad's colleagues get dementia, early onset dementia, and if you like, vindicated but also angry that it's been going on all this time. Jeff Astle's diagnosis was 19 years ago and nothing's changed really.
And your mother, I gather, was, you know, pleased that when you suggested donating the brain, that if it stops one other person suffering the torment of dementia, it was worth doing. And presumably she feels that even stronger now.
Absolutely. The decision was literally taken minutes after Dad passed away. So it was a very emotional time. But yeah.
Yeah, it must be a very difficult call. But I mean, you could only put yourself in that situation where your dad probably would have wanted that, wouldn't he? He came across as a guy that cared about other players and other pros, and he probably would have wanted that to be the case.
That was the logic. We thought, what would Dad want? And that's what Dad would have wanted. I mean, Dad also saw his friends disappear around him. Even before he started getting poorly, you know, it's just rife. Andy, Paul, it's rife. It's everywhere in so many clubs.
Yeah. Well, it must be, as you said, that frustration that it's been 18 years since Jeff Astle, the coroner, diagnosed it as an industrial disease and due to the repeated heading of the ball. Here we are 18 years later. And we're seeing more of an acceptance that there is a direct link and more responsibility being taken by the governing bodies. But we're not quite there yet, are we?
I don't see any responsibility being taken. To be honest, Paul, I haven't seen them say they're gonna start looking after players who were struggling with dementia. I haven't seen any of that, and the lacklustre approach to the recent thing with David Luiz and the concussion substitutes. I don't really see it, to be honest.
No, it is a problem. Have you spoken to the PFA, or will you speak to them since you've received this information from the doctor?
The PFA will. I don't know what I have. Why, I don't know whether I need to speak to the PFA. They've got the information. They had the information 18 years ago from Jeff Astle. Mm-hmm. This is just another one, but it happens to be my dad was a high-profile player, so it's drawing more attention to it. But if you think about it logically, lads, and since then, there's been two generations of footballers who've been allowed to play football with no protection and no information, and that's a scandal.
What's your feeling, John? Why did they not sort of kick into action after the coroner's report on Jeff? Why do you think that they didn't get behind their members at that stage?
I don't want to sound too controversial, lads, but football's a big brand. And if you accept that heading the ball and has caused it, then there's compensation issues, perhaps. I really don't know. But they've obviously not wanted to deal with it. But they should deal with it, because every day I'm speaking to four and five families who are going through the hell of trying to look after a dementia patient in such bad circumstances. And really, they've been left up to their own devices.
On a more positive note, John, on the weekend, they released a new documentary about Dennis Law. And of course, your dad gets quite a lot of mentions in it. And it really is a wonderful documentary and a reminder of what a fabulous team that was that your dad played in.
Absolutely. Dennis Law, one of the greatest players ever. I haven't seen the documentary yet.
Oh, well worth it.
I'm really looking forward to it. But just to bring it back again, I'm sorry to be miserable. In that team, Tony Dunn, Bill Foulkes, my dad, and Bobby Charlton, all Manchester suffers. But Dennis Law, my dad loved Dennis Law. He was a, unless he was playing against him when he was for Scotland, and then he
yeah, that comes out in the documentary. No, yeah, Dennis says your dad didn't speak to him for a week after Scotland won in 67.
Well, they both used to talk about it in their after dinners, but they were the best of pals off the pitch, obviously. Mm.
Yeah, that comes through too.
We're in this situation now where, certainly in rugby, as we've seen, John, that there are plans afoot to take legal action. And do you see a similar thing taking shape in the world of football?
Well, I read something, I think it was last week, that the same firm who were doing the rugby lawsuit, class action or whatever, have got 40 football families and they're going to do that in the new year. I think I read that somewhere. So it wouldn't come as a surprise, but it's not. That's not something that's been on my mind. I've obviously had enough on lately.
Yeah, of course. And it's not just about sort of payouts after sadly they've passed away. It's about the practical help of dealing with dementia on a day-to-day basis, which is, you know, the care involved, the respite care for those people trying to care for people, because that's incredibly difficult as well, as you've realised. So this might feel like wasted years for a lot of these people that have sadly, like your dad, no longer with us, but maybe didn't get the ongoing support they could have done when they were alive.
Andy, Paul, you've summed it up exactly. And for my dad, it's too late now. But the families are struggling now, and they need help. They really do. Some of the stories are horrific. The other thing is, just if I could just say, lads, it's not when they get into their 80s or late 70s that they start to suffer. It's much earlier than that. They pass away in the 70s, but more often than not, they start in the late 50s or early 60s. So it's a very difficult time, and I thank you for letting me speak about it.
No, absolutely. It's a story we've talked about an awful lot on the show over the years, because we both work with Jeff on fantasy football, so it kind of felt a bit more personal, really. But it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here, John, and whether we're going to see more of these. I think a great many of the brains that Dr. Stewart has looked at have shown the same evidence as your dad. So this is not an outlier, is it? This diagnosis. This is what he generally finds in a very high proportion of the cases.
It's common sense, really, lads. I mean, if you had a ball 70,000 times in your career, there's going to be something goes wrong with your brain more often than not. But Willie's been very disappointed that a lot of the brains that haven't been referred to him. He wants the brains referred to him so he can get more and more evidence. He's doing a great job. And if I can just say, Dawn Astle is a magnificent woman.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely, yeah. She's been
all agree with that.
Fighting this for a very long time now. Excuse me. It's very interesting in the Jack Charlton movie, post the Jack Charlton movie, and that was very moving as well. I'm sure you've seen that, John. His wife said that she thinks he still would have wanted his football career. And we spoke to Jeff Hurst a few weeks ago, and he said, you know, even on with a bit more knowledge, it may not have changed. I would imagine your dad loved his football. What do you think his attitude would have been?
I think when he was 17 or 18, he wouldn't have bothered an inch about it, which is what's so dangerous for these young players. And my dad always considered himself fortunate that he played for the club he loved and the country that he loved. Perhaps if you asked him, if you looked on it overall when you got older, would you? I don't know whether it'd be the same answer, but I've said it before, my dad thought he was the luckiest man in the world to play for the club and the country he loved, yeah.
You had a 10-year career finally, Johnny. Do you worry? Do you worry about it, having seen what happened to your dad?
Well, I do a bit, but I was the first Leeds United substitute ever to be substituted, so I wasn't that good. But yeah, it is something I worry about. I've got a grandson now; he's starting to kick a ball about. I won't let him head the ball. It's a very, very concerning situation that nowhere near enough has been done about.
Yeah, we often say. Finally, your dad was one of our favourite guests when his book came out. He came in and saw us. And we came in, I think, it's about 3:30, had a half an hour with us. We leave at 4, and he was going to get a car back to the station. And I came out about 4:15. His cab was still waiting. A couple of people have recognised him on the steps of the old TalkSport building and indulged in a bit of 66 chat. So he was off. He was back there. He was taking them back to the game. And I think that came across. He was always very giving with his time. He was always very happy about it and very happy to share that memory.
Do you know, my dad could never understand why people remembered him.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
He just couldn't understand it. And the question everybody used to say to him was, Nobby, do you know where I was when you did your dance with the World Cup? as if he'd know, but he listened to everybody. So everybody wanted to tell him where they were when he did his dance with the World Cup, and he loved it.
Well, John, hope you and the family have a good Christmas. It's going to be difficult for you, I understand, but all the best. Good to talk to you.
Thanks again, lads. Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, earlier on, we were telling you about UK Athletics former head of endurance, our old mate Barry Fudge.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought, well, he maybe fancies a bit of telework now. He's not head of endurance. And you've come up with a few formats for him, quite a nice one. Hot Fudge Sunday. Barry sits in a sauna on a Sunday. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and talks with various celebrities.
It's already a program,
about
it?
Their life and careers. That's Gab. Hot Fudge Sunday. You could just, I don't know, do you think it sounds pretty good? You'd watch it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's very good, Gab. He gives you a full synopsis. He doesn't just give you the title.
Gab Cancello works hard. That was him, yeah. What about this one from Ian? This is Barry goes onto the streets to interview sellers of a popular charity publication in Fudging the Issue. That could have just been just a general sort of political type hard-hitting show by Barry. And Darren Taylor says, Fudge and Smudge. Barry and former Arsenal and Leicester and England frontman Alan Smith talk about the lack of endurance in the current Gunners squad. So there we are. You can keep them coming if you like. Good old Barry Fudge. You may fancy some telework. TalkSport.com. Text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ.
I thought when Andy Brassel was talking about Jonathan Tarr earlier, I thought he was definitely one prime for TV formats.
I think we've done it. I think Jonathan Tarr was almost...
I'm going with Tar Edge.
I thought you might be.
He sits down with John Conte to review the career of the great Reg Gutteridge.
Yeah, that's it. That one for people of a certain age. How lucky is Kazuya Sato, 40, the fisherman from Japan, who went out fishing and came back with a nine-armed octopus. Nine arms. And extra arms.
Are they legs or arms?
Well, their legs or their arms. Their arms are their arms, aren't they?
Tentacles, an extra tentacle.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm going with arms. but yeah, nine arms.
Yeah. No, we need to speak to Ken the octopus to see what he used to pick. Ken, was it your arm or was it your tentacle or was it your leg?
I'm safely going.
Point at
on.
One of these three things.
Yes, indeed.
So that could work.
Anything else?
To be really honest, no. But that's not the... well, I might as well be honest. It's been a bit of a difficult weekend, but that's all right. I tell you what I am encouraged by, and I think it's a very interesting appointment, was Toby's news there about Jack Callis being appointed England batting coach. Because for me, I think Jack Callis is one of the most underrated cricketers of all time.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant all-rounder. You know, he just happened to be part of that period where there were lots of good all-rounders, but a brilliant player.
Yeah, no,
so
he will.
I think that'll be good.
He will be good for us. And when you pick up your angling publications, Andy, you are quite used to seeing a nine-armed, legged, tentacled octopus, but you are used to seeing a fisherman holding a big old fish. That's been the staple of a cover of many an angling publication. So, Jack Bythway, he went fishing, but he was hoping to catch a tiddler, a record-breaking tiddler. But unfortunately, he forgot his scales, so he couldn't weigh it. It's a six-inch rough, it's called, apparently. Yeah. And he was
not
fishing.
Alan.
No, not Alan. He was fishing on a canal with a mate. But ultimately, this thing is, I think, the record 5 ounce. 5 ounces. So you'd have that cover shot, wouldn't you? And you know you've broken a record, but essentially you can barely see the thing. You hold it by the tail, couldn't you? And it can't be, the same.
I did hear Max Rushton talking about this on Breakfast, and I thought he's definitely been working with you too long. He's obviously got right into Fisherman's Blues.
Yeah, he has. He's become a convert. Well, haven't we all? Indeed.
Oh,
you didn't catch any of the boxing at the weekend, Andy? You didn't see?
No, I didn't.
I did manage
the shape of his arm afterwards, though.
Yeah,
he's good.
He's flown back Callum Smith, Eric, and he could have detached the bicep, which is a nasty injury. But
just from somebody punching you in the arm, because you forget that about boxing. Yeah. It's not just the punches in the face.
No.
It's also when you put your guard up and you...
Yeah, he took...
He did sound like a difficult night for
it. It was very difficult. Old Canelo was right at it, and it took him a few rounds to get going, but when he did, it was pretty brutal stuff. So it wasn't the easiest to watch, really. But anyway, that's why he's so good. That's why the guy keeps winning. But it was brave of Callum Smith to take the fight at short notice the way he did. I think he's talking about moving up a weight now. But it was, it was very tough going, as many people expected.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Don't ask me.
So normally at this point with Don't Ask Me, it's just me asking questions of Andy because he's been here for 5 days. But of course, last week he was just here Monday and Friday, and it was Max Rushton who stepped in for him Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. So that's a kind of joint game. We've made it a competition. Good afternoon, Max.
Contractually, I have to be on TalkSport once every 8 hours. So,
you sound like a man who's just woken up. Your body clock's all over the shop, so thanks for doing this. Anyway, we'll crack on. The way it's going to work is this. As the days that you worked, you'll get the second tilt at the question. So the person who wasn't working gets the first tilt. So let's see how you go on. Adi Adepatan joined myself and Andy Max on Friday, the broadcaster, Paralympian, etc. And he'd done a Christmas link up with which well-known high street supermarket? Would you know, Max?
I don't know the answer to the question, but I'm going to say Tesco.
It isn't Tesco. Andy Jacobs, what was it? You were working that day.
I know. I'm going to go with Sainsbury's.
No. No, it was Co-op. It's great. And you were actually working. This doesn't bode well for the rest of it.
Still nil-nil.
Although I've got quite a tough one for Max here. We spoke about the team that were 8-1 up, Max, Donhead Barbarians, and drew 8-all. Can you remember the name of the opposition, Max? What were they called?
Does Andy get the question first?
Oh, Andy does, yeah. Andy does get the question. Who were the opposition?
It's like a scoring system.
I'm always giving up on him getting it right, let's be honest. Who were the other team? Can you remember, Max?
Sturminster's
absolutely right. So Max has got that one right. Back to Max. We spoke to Richie, who's a DJ on a Spanish island. He was telling us about a team from that island playing in the Copa del Rey against Atletico Madrid. They lost, sadly, 3-0, but did pretty well. What island was that, Andy? Because I've got to give you the first...
Mallorca.
It's 1-1. This is an interesting competition. Okay, then, Max. We spoke to the Alex Petram, the co-chairman of Gloucester City. He was very entertaining. They've not played their Meadow Park ground because of flooding for how many years, Andy? How many years have they not played on their pitch for?
7?
It was... What was it, Max?
Hang on. I think it was 13.
It was 13. 2-1 to Max then. Andy's got a fighting chance. We spoke to Mark Wilson. We talked rugby league with him. Which team were given promotion to Super League, Andy? Oh, no, it should be Max first, shouldn't it? Max, you're going first on this one. Which team was it?
I know it's not Hockingston Rovers.
No, unlucky.
Was it?
Which team?
Was it Lee?
It was Lee, Andy. Oh. Which means you've won, Don't Ask Me.
It's 2-2. Well done.
Was it 2-2, Max?
This versus the scoring system of the birthday spread, isn't it?
Just give him this.
I'll take the win. Just give
him. You can have the win, Andy. You can have it.
You get yourself back to bed, and we'll hear from you tomorrow at 6. Cheers, Max. Thank you. Andy's back on Thursday. I'm back tomorrow with Charlie Baker from 1 o'clock. Have a fine evening. Enjoy the football. And up next, it's Darren Goff and Adrian Durham.
That really wasn't fair because Max wasn't awake. No, it really wasn't fair.
That's true.
I call for a rematch.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And we return tomorrow. I actually return with Charlie Baker tomorrow, building up to the Carabao Cup football and lots more besides. Andy's back on Thursday for the Christmas Eve special with the listeners. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify.
Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.